Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to bring in Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. Hey, good morning, Chip. How are you today?
Morning, fellas.
A little chilly out there. Hope you're staying warm.
It is a little chilly in the Beauville.
In the Beauville. Thank you very much. I love that. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
So who's going to be the next defensive coordinator in the Beauville?
Oh, you're just lobbing the softballs here, aren't you?
Figured I'd just get right down to it. We'd ease right into to 2019. No, it is kind of interesting now where not just a defensive coordinator, but now we're looking at offensive coordinator as well. How surprised are you about the Jim Chaney stuff that kind of blew up really fast, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And in a shocking development, you know, Georgia's now going to hire a offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. They're going to shock the world and have one guy do both jobs. That way they'll be able to have more support staff to help break down film. You know, I was surprised with the Jim Chaney thing because that was developing for a few days. And, you know, there was a lot of buzz about it. And you know, the early returns were that he wasn't going to go. He wasn't going to take it, which kind of made sense. That's sort of how I left it. I was like, oh, okay, you know, that makes sense that he would turn that down. You know, and then a couple of days later, it's like, oh, okay. He took it. He's taking it. He's gone. He's, you know, it kind of happened sort of fast there at the end. But when you look at it from in the grand scheme of things, you know, and you just look at it as a career move, I think it's something you can understand. You know, you can even understand Tennessee's willingness kind of maybe to overpay. You know, they've been going, 46, 47, 48 days on their search for an offensive coordinator. I don't know, you know, what number of choice Jim Chaney might have been or whatever, but you could understand, what the attraction of a Jim Chaney, certainly from the standpoint of the familiarity with Tennessee and that whole area, his age relative to retirement and all those kind of things. It made sense. And Georgia, on the other end, our understanding on the situation was that that they were initially going to not take it, and then Georgia was going to match what the offer was, and then Tennessee came back with a counteroffer, and Georgia wasn't going to match. When you look at it from that standpoint, that makes a lot of sense too. It's kind of what it is. Georgia, when Kirby Smart, you know, first got here, wanted to be more like Alabama, and now it is. You know, it's losing coaches every year and losing coordinators every other year. That's the air you're breathing right now.
You know, we had Brandon Adams on yesterday, and I told him it was like, well, you know, with the Chaney thing, it's like if he'd come back, that's fine. He's leaving. I'm kind of indifferent, and it seems like the rhetoric from Dog Nation, though, was as long as Sam Pittman stays, everything's good. And is that kind of what you got the feeling from also?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. And look, you know, it may seem odd, but I mean, I think, you know, knowing what Sam Pittman has done these last couple of years and knowing what Jim Chaney has done, I would say Sam Pittman is the more valuable coach, right? I mean, that's unbelievable what he's been able to do in terms of recruiting offensive linemen. And, they took care of that. And, you know, in a few ways, I think this was kind of helpful to Georgia because, you know, Kirby was going to have to take care of Sam Pittman you know, this year one way or another. And the same goes for Dale McGee as well. You know, I mean, both those guys are, they're world class recruiters. And if you go out there and suddenly you're paying $1.5 million for your offensive coordinator, you know, you're going to have a hard time doing anything to help those guys. I think in this case, you'll be able, you know, to help them. You know, it sounds funny when you say that, but, you know, that's what the market is. And, you know, in this way, you're able to take care of Sam Pittman and you're able to take care of Dale McGee. In the meantime, you know, other things could happen. There's no question other things could happen. And Georgia could, you know, do some different things, like, you know, bring in Eddie Grant as offensive coordinator from Kentucky, or, you know, maybe even Brian McClendon from South Carolina or something like that. But I just think the way they had it set up with James Coley already doing the job, sitting beside Jim Chaney all last season, sitting in all those meetings, game planning, and calling the games during the listening to Jim calling the games. It's pretty easy to elevate James Coley and put him into that position. That's what I expect to happen. You never know. Something else could happen, but that's what I expect to happen.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Yeah, and Chip, it's so funny. You know, you hear the fans' reaction to this, and on Tennessee side of things, it's like, we stole one from Georgia. And on Georgia side of things, it's like, they are overpaying for this guy that we're just letting them have, you know. So it's either side, and critiquing play calling is what it is. You know, so many people just default to that when your team is struggling. But, you know, what makes, I guess, James Coley a good fit here in terms of, you know, I guess that? I know you had just kind of talked about him kind of being a good shoe-in kind of guy as he's been there, but – you know, what makes him, I guess, any different, and why would fans, I guess, not jump to complaining about him just like they do every offensive coordinator?
Well, first off, James Coley is a world-class recruiter as well. I don't think it's any mystery that, you know, Kirby Smart favors a strong recruiting staff. You know, it's the most important thing he does. And, you know, sometimes that comes to a fault, but you know, the fact of the matter, at Georgia, we don't know 100% what kind of game plan or play caller that James Coley is going to be. But it's just like you alluded to there. He's probably going to be like every other one. I mean, you know, he's going to call plays, and they're going to work sometimes, and they're not going to work other times. But generally, it comes down to players. And this is what James Coley is. I mean, he accepted a job at Georgia on the basis of his recruiting. Initially his ability to recruit South Florida, but he was a quarterback coach and coordinator by profession. That's what he'd been doing for a long time. He'd been doing it at Miami. He'd been doing it at Florida International. He'd done it at other places before. And that's what he always wanted to be doing. And, it was a pretty clever move on Kirby's part to make him co-coordinator. That was always so interesting that he was co-coordinator, but Jim Chaney, now, he was never had a co in front of his name. And they were, you know, Georgia always pointed that out. No, he's not. He's still offensive coordinator. It's just James Coley that's the co-office. Oh, okay. Whatever Spanish you got there. You know, but the fact of the matter is James Coley is and has always been a quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator. So that's a natural fit for him. But you know what, guys? It's like everybody else. You know, Mike Bobo, people wanted him out of town all the time, and it's the same thing the whole time Jim Chaney was here. But in my opinion, a coordinator has to be judged on bottom-line production, and that comes down to how many points are you scoring, how many yards are you gaining, you know, what's your third-down conversion percentage. Different things like that are more important indicators, because plays, you know, there's just so much that goes into them. You never know exactly what was called on any one play, especially at Georgia, when you have a quarterback like Jake Fromm who can check in or out or right or left on any given play. And, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And, you know, sometimes you take a few chances here and there when you've been calling things a certain way. So you try to get out of predictability, I mean, it's just way too hard to base it on that. I imagine, you know, it'll be the same way with James Coley as it was with Jim Chaney. He'll probably call some, you know, you don't like sometimes, and he'll call some great plays because they work. I think generally he's a little bit more of a throwing coach. I mean, if you just look at his background, especially at Miami and Florida International before that, I mean, you know, he likes to throw the football. But Georgia's always going to run first. They're always going to do what Kirby wants. He likes to play complementary defense, you know, complementary football, where your defense is helping to take care of your offense a little bit and vice versa. And I'm sure that's what we'll see under James Coley too, if, fellas, he does end up actually being the choice. But I expect him to be.
Do you feel like the way the whole Justin Fields played out, the whole Justin Fields thing played out from the beginning of the year to him leaving, left a bad taste in some people's mouths too, that situation could have been handled better and he might still be here?
You mean by what Jim Chaney did in the middle of all that?
Yeah, it just seemed like the way he was used this year. And then, you know, Kirby had the famous quote about, you know, the plan is there is no plan with him and that kind of thing, with the quarterbacks and that kind of thing. And that it just, when he was used, it was clunky or maybe, you know, I don't know Justin, so I don't know what his attitude and his family's attitude was towards the whole thing. But, you know, was there, you know, was it Kirby or whatever that was just, I don't know, disappointed in the way that whole thing played out and that didn't help the relationship there with him and Chaney? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking a question. I know it sounds like I'm speculating, but I didn't know how big of a deal that you felt that was in all of this.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of speculation on my part because, you know, we never have been able to have any kind of extensive sit down with Justin Fields and his family and say, okay, what exactly, you know, did you not like? Why are you leaving Georgia, right? You know, and I think that was part of it. And you know, Jim Chaney came out, you know, the only time we got to hear from him after the preseason camp meeting was the Sugar Bowl meeting, and he said he felt like that he did right. I believe that was his quote. You know, I think I did right by Justin Fields and all that. And, you know, that's what we'll never know. I mean, you know, Justin Fields now at Ohio State and has already, you know, said, hey, I'll have no further comment. You know, don't ask me any more questions about this. But, I mean, I don't think there's any question that the Fields – probably think he was misused or underused or what have you. But that's what will that'll always be a mystery, guys, to me and I think to y'all and to everybody, you know, unless you were privy to all that work they do behind the scenes at practice. I mean, you know, that you can watch hundreds of hours of practice tape. You know, you really don't know how well Justin Fields was doing on the whole running the offense deal. The only thing we have to go by is what we saw in games. And it was so hilarious. So what's the guy on Twitter? I think, you know, he's supposed to be Jacob Eason, Eason. And he ran a highlight tape of Justin Fields, you know, from Georgia. And it was sarcastic. And it was hilarious because, yeah, it was a bunch of, you know, two-yard gains, two-yard losses, incompletions, and then of course the whole highlight take, you know, caps off with that ill-fated 4th-and-11 play that look, you know, Justin Fields misplayed that play. As awful and terrible as that was, one of the worst plays in the history of the University of Georgia football, going all the way back to 1892, and I'm not even sure what they did on that faking punt in 1896, right? But I mean, that was a terrible play, but he had options on that play that none of which he handled correctly. You know, he didn't run that play right. I think he has a little bit of a panic streak in him, and it's going to be real interesting to see at Ohio State if they get something different, right? And if they do, and he goes up there and does what Ohio State thinks they're going to do, is, you know, leads them to championships and great things, then you'll be able to say, yeah, that, you know, Georgia blew that one. But the generational player that everybody keeps referring to, I never saw him. I never saw him. I'm sorry. I see the physique. I saw the size. But in games, I never saw anything He threw that one deep ball that it was like, wow, incredible. Look at that arm. And maybe a little bit of that second half against Tennessee. But don't tell me anything about what he did against UMass or any of those other guys. I never saw anything in a meaningful game that made me think that Georgia was doing anything but playing the right quarterback all year long.
Now look, Chip, I don't want to, you know, crap on a kid or anything like that just because, you know, he's not here anymore. But, you know, you talk about the traits that he had, I guess, to for the position, the physique, the arm strength, stuff like that. But the leadership ability is so important at the quarterback position. And for him to be walking off the field against South Carolina already complaining or making fun of the fact that he wasn't, you know, seeing the field and playing time, that's only in week two. And then this whole way that this ended here at Georgia, you know, toxicity is such a strong word, but it seems like there was at least a potential for that kind of an atmosphere to be created, because you saw after the Sugar Bowl there were some players kind of voicing or taking sides, if you will, on social media. I think we saw Akeel Crumpton with an interesting post about, you know, riding or dying with Justin Fields or whatever. So it just kind of seems like him leaving, and then also maybe some of the guys that weren't focused on being at Georgia leaving in terms of the juniors leaving early, it seems like Georgia has a chance now for all of that to sort of dissipate, focus on Fromm being the leader and not sort of have that me kind of mentality that maybe some of the guys had.
Yeah, I think that was actually a good thing that Zach Klein and WSB got that out, and I think that was just a little bit of a glimpse of what you're probably hearing in the locker room and, you know, and everywhere else. These guys are together 70 hours a week, right? I don't care what they say about a 20-hour rule. You know, these guys are together all the time. They're together in practices. They're together in meetings. They're together on campus. They're together when they go out at night, when they do, you know, things around town. And if you hear somebody murmuring that after week two, I think it's pretty clear that that Justin Fields' presence had become an increasingly divisive force. I wrote this at Dog Nation on one of my Tower Stakes. I said, you know, this could be a unifying development, and I think it will be. Now, I'm not naive either. I mean, I saw Justin Fields' size. I saw his speed. I see his arm. I can see where, you know, he would be better all the way across the board eventually if you let him get to the point of maturity where he's mastered the offense and everything else that goes into being a Georgia quarterback. But he wasn't there yet. And if you're not, you know, if you're not patient, I mean, look at Tim Tebow at Florida. I always thought that was the best example. I mean, it's clear that Tim Tebow was a better quarterback than Chris Leak, but he wasn't at Chris Leak's level the first year at Florida. And what did Tim Tebow do? He quietly, or not even quietly, I mean, he just joyously accepted his role as kind of a third down guy. Who ran the ball all the time, and then every once in a while they'd fake the jock strap off and let him throw it, you know. That's when he had that jump pass, I think, the first one against LSU as a freshman. You got to embrace a role like that. I don't think Justin Fields ever embraced that role. And, look, it goes all the way back to all that I don't even know how to describe it, that hullabaloo that I witnessed with the Fields and the Fields family back when he was at Harrison, you know, the ridiculousness about, how you got to Justin Fields and how you got an interview with him and how they were handling his recruitment. I mean, it was like some kind of, different level deal. And it was just never about accessibility and humility. It was always about, well, you know, we're a little different around here, and, you know, Justin's a little bit special, so this is the way it's going to be. You understand, right? Well, I don't think it's a altogether negative thing that he's somewhere else. Now, I could be proven wrong in a year and certainly in 2 years, but, for what George is trying to do at quarterback and as a team, what Kirby Smart looks for, again, if you look at the Alabama model and the quarterbacks who did well at Alabama traditionally over the years, I think Jake Fromm's just fine. Thank you very much.
Talking with Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com. What were your thoughts on the Tim Worley stuff and how it kind of broke the Dog Nation internet? And you know, did you feel like, even if you agreed with some of his points or all of his points, that it was kind of interesting that he just kind of came out of there and everybody jumped on his words?
Yeah, I regret that I didn't call him right away, because I think he was speaking for certainly our demographic, right, Dave? Me and you. I mean, you know, I would just,
to an extent, some of it, but not all of it.
No, not all of it. But I felt the same way after the Sugar Bowl and wrote it to some extent, but not quite as not quite as passionately as he did. But the reason I didn't beat that drum a little bit more is because I think it's a little bit old school, you know, the entire attitude. I get, that we're kind of in a different day and age with the draft and all that kind of stuff. But I do think it had an effect, and I wrote that very much. I mean, I think I'm sorry, but if you're going to sit there and say, hey, it's okay, DeAndre, we understand, and while you're at it, won't you come on with us? You know, let's say, come on with us and go to New Orleans and let's have a good time. Rather than taking the attitude, fine, if you're going to turn pro, we understand and we appreciate everything you did for us, and we understand your decision. But we'll catch you back at pro day. Okay, see you later, because you're no longer part of this team. I thought it had an effect. There's no question. Because intentionally or subconsciously, when you do that, I think the other players go, "Oh, okay, it's just the Sugar Bowl; it doesn't count. It's not that big of a deal. We don't care." And then you come out there and you're getting hit in the mouth by Texas, and you find yourself, "Oh, wait a minute, this is really important to them, isn't it? Maybe I need to rethink this," because I still don't think Texas was a significantly better team than Georgia was. I wasn't surprised that Georgia lost the game at the end of the day. I thought psychologically it was kind of set up that way, but falling behind 17-0 like it was and being as kind of lopsided it was, I think started right there with those decisions and those statements. And then I think the juniors, kind of unveiled a little bit of an attitude that was on the team as well. We'll see how those guys turn out in the draft, but for the most part, I wasn't surprised that the guys that went, right?
Yeah, no, I maybe an eyebrow raising or two, but when you get right down to it, no, I'm not stunned by any of it. So I'm with you there as far as that goes. Chip, good grief, where'd the time go? Just flies when you're on with us. We appreciate it. Always love talking to you.
I thought you were calling to talk about basketball. I mean, that's where I was last night. Sam was there. Sam, your voice sounded great last night.
Thank you, sir.
And the place was rocking, and
that was a big rebound W, man. It might have been, RPI Vanderbilt number 130 or whatever they are, but that was a huge win just in the sense of getting a W after the way things went Saturday at Tennessee, right?
Yeah, it really, really was. I mean, I was kind of worried for Tom Green and the whole thing he's got going on, because he's so excitable and so about energy, and you coming off that 46-point loss, and Vanderbilt was a little desperate too, and they played desperate early on. They're a good, they're Vanderbilt, right? They're always just come out shooting lights out, and they kind of did that early on, and you think, oh man, 0-2, and going to Auburn. I think one of those Kim Pomeroy or whatever it is, one of them, they picked Georgia to go 0-10 to start in the SEC. And I think that was very realistic. I mean, they may still go 1-9. I mean, this is a brutal start to the schedule. But, yeah, I thought that was really, really important, both from a confidence standpoint and for just a program energy standpoint. Heck, there were 9,500 people there that whoever that PA announcer is in Stegman was, just hollering, three, and it was a great atmosphere. And I thought it was a very important win for Georgia.
Agreed. Definitely. Sam's check to you is in the mail as well. Okay.
Appreciate it, Sam. It's on the way, man.
Actually, you know, I'm going to pull a DeAndre Baker new school and just Venmo you. Is that okay?
Yeah, Venmo me. That would be great.
There you go. Hey, thanks so much, Chip.
All right, see you next time.
Chip Towers from the AJC's DogNation.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.